Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. And if you're not, it's about to be, because it's a Wednesday with Weeds as we head into Final Four week. Mark Wiedmer, the Chattanooga Times Free Press columnist extraordinaire, college basketball guru, is here to shed some knowledge on everybody. Mark, thank you for joining us. I've got to start with what took place on Sunday. The Cats get up.
Yeah, congratulations to your War Eagles.
Kentucky's up 17-7. They're up 22-11. They had won the regular season, swept the regular season. The game in Rupp wasn't even a game. How or when did Sunday, how did it all change once Kentucky was up 11?
Well, first of all, I'd have liked those scores a lot more if it had been a football game. But with Auburn and all the threes, you don't really ever feel that comfortable. I think it changed in the last 5 minutes of the first half. I thought that's when they lost the game. As you said, they're up by a comfortable margin. Auburn's not hitting anything. And then all of a sudden, Kentucky starts to turn it over and goes cold. And it's a five-point game at half, but they'd cut it to two, I think, right before the half. And Ashton Hagans hit a three, his only three he made that day. And, you know, it, once Auburn got into it, and then they, the first 5 minutes of the second half, they just took over. I mean, Kentucky was probably very fortunate in a way to get to overtime. But then, I mean, I would say this, too, to you two Auburn people. If somebody had told you Sunday morning you'd hit 7 of 23 three-pointers and score 60 points in regulation, would you have thought you'd win?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's offense is what killed them. They held Auburn to what? By 18 points, the lowest number of points they'd scored in the tournament, and still got beat. Their offense was atrocious. And some of that definitely is a credit to Auburn's defense.
Yeah.
Which was what led the nation in turnovers forced, and certainly played that way Sunday.
All right, I know it's going to sound like we just got you on here to pick on you, but since the tournament expanded in
I had expected that.
Since the tournament expanded in 1985, if you had to have a Rushmore of painful Kentucky losses, because you've had a bunch. You've had the Leitner, you had Wisconsin spoiling the perfect season, UConn in the title game in 14, Luke May shot just a couple of years ago with Carolina, Michigan in 93. What took place Sunday? What would be your most painful four?
The most painful four since 85.
Correct.
86 would be.
Okay.
One of them against having to play LSU a fourth time in the regional in Atlanta in the Omni. They'd beaten them the first three times and had to play them in a regional final. After LSU, by the way, had gotten to host the
right
first two rounds of the regional in Baton Rouge as, like, what, an 11th seed?
Right.
All right, that'd be one. Obviously, Leitner is one. I would say the UConn loss in 14 would be one because it was in the title game. Carolina, what, 2 years ago?
With May.
With John Higgins officiating. And what am I?
And that's it. That's
five.
It. So the Auburn game does not make it.
Give me a year or two, and I'll let you know.
All right, news today, Mark. Jordan Bone declares for the NBA draft. Of course, you also had Simi Chatu at Vanderbilt posting on social media. He's declaring for the draft and hiring an agent. So Bone is still...
You're kidding.
No, no. So, yes, you've got that going for you. But anyway, Bone, you know...
You need an agent to get in the G League?
That's the way I look at it, too. What do you think Bone... do you think he has a home in the NBA draft, or do you think he comes back?
I do not think he comes back. I had begun to believe over the last, say, 10 days that his quotes and his body language, and then what outsiders like Abillas were saying about him, that he was the best point guard in the league this year, I kind of always got the sense that he wanted to go ahead and get out. I imagine in his mind he's wondering, can I do any better than I did this year? And at least in terms of draft stock. And I think his draft stock for him is fairly high. And I think he can play in the NBA. I don't know where he'll be drafted. But he probably had the fastest north-to-south speed in the league this year. And a killer medium-range jump shot. And he's proven he can hit threes. He's a good free-throw shooter. He's an excellent defender. Is he a first-rounder? I doubt it. But it would not surprise me to see him go, somewhere 45 to 50.
All right, I asked you about Bone. I got to ask you about Grant.
I think Grant comes back. I think Grant loves college. And in his case, I think it's the fact that he'll pretty much probably go next year where he'd go this year is fine with him. I think Grant, some of us have talked about this. He can kind of be the Peyton Manning of basketball at UT. If he comes back and plays 4 years there, he might be, other than, say, Bernard King, the favorite Vol of all time.
You're listening to Mark Wiedmer, the college basketball guru, columnist with the Chattanooga Times Free Press, our Wednesday with Weeds. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
How long does Bruce Pearl stay at Auburn, Mark?
You know, I suspect that he'll be there until either the FBI or retirement gets him. I think he is very, very appreciative of the chance they gave him. And I think Auburn being what it is, they will pay as much as they can to keep him. And I think he's pretty happy there.
What do you see happening this weekend?
Jay, I have zero idea. I can give you reasons why each of these teams will win and why each of them won't. I think because of the building, Auburn, and the loss of Okiki, obviously, Auburn may have the toughest climb because it's tough in those big arenas to be red hot from the perimeter. And while they were able to rattle Kentucky's guards, their freshman guards, I don't think they can win up there without hitting at least 10 threes in a game, maybe 12.
What about in the other draw?
I think, you talk about what should be a tremendous game. It may end 45-43, but Texas Tech and Michigan State is a really good matchup. And it'll be interesting to see how Cassius Winston handles all that size that Texas Tech can throw at you in the backcourt. But I was interested. I was watching, I guess, the NIT last night, and Seth Greenberg made a point that Texas Tech has averaged 10 made threes over their last, 10 or 12 games. If they can shoot that way, they can not only beat Michigan State, they can win it all. Because they're the most efficient defensive team in the country.
Right. What did you make, and I don't know if we've had you on since then, but what did you make of all the hubbub about Tom Izzo yelling at that kid?
Well, I thought if the kid could handle it, everybody else should be able to handle it.
Fair enough.
Was it a little over the top, I guess, because we watched it on TV? Probably a little so, but that's kind of Izzo. I mean, that's who he is. I don't know that I've ever seen him go that crazy on a guy, but I mean, he's a yeller. And if you play for him, you know that going in, or you should. And if the kid didn't have a problem with it, I don't know who we are to criticize it.
You're listening to Mark Wiedmer, the Chattanooga Times Free Press, college basketball junkie. Mark, there's if you assume Will Wade is gone, and of course he still won't come back and talk to the administration there, but That would mean 5 coaching turnovers in the SEC. You've already had 2 filled. Buzz Williams today at Texas A&M, Nate Oates at Alabama.
Both those guys definitely make the league better.
Agreed. So my question for you, Vanderbilt's coaching search, Arkansas's coaching search, given that it looks like Kelvin Sampson is – it looks like Houston's going to back up the truck for him. And then, obviously, LSU would be looking for somebody. It sure seems like Texas A&M and Alabama got some good ones, but these other ones seem to be in disarray.
Well, that's basketball in the SEC. I mean, it's not football. And I think sometimes these ADs – they've always got a football list in their desk drawer. I'm not sure they always have a basketball list. And when you hear Jerry Stackhouse being bandied about at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? This guy's never been on a recruiting trip. He's never had anything to do with college basketball. And this guy, the AD at Vanderbilt, who was the, I guess, commissioner of the G League, Jerry had, the championship team in the G League this year. So that's the connection. I can't now. I've seen John Thompson, the threes, the name bandied about on that. I think that would be a terrific hire for Vanderbilt. But I cannot see bringing in Jerry Stackhouse for a Power 5 conference program.
They ought to just kind of do like the NBA does and just kind of recycle. I mean, they ought to, you know, Mike Anderson ought to go to LSU. Bryce Drew ought to go to Arkansas. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that a couple of
somebody
those
hire Hubie Brown.
I mean, but this one is when I saw Stackhouse, I was like, that is bizarre. That is bizarre. And of course, LSU's in maybe in the toughest situation of all because they're going to have to hire somebody squeaky. And I don't know how many squeaky guys there are.
I'm really a bit perplexed because this is going to do great damage to their program in the sense of they're in limbo. How do they recruit?
Right.
Which of these guys leaves? I mean, I think most of us believe Naz Reid will leave. Tremont Waters, I think, will kind of wait to see what happens with this. I would not be surprised to see Smart leave. They are totally in limbo right now and with really no way out.
And Mark, one last.
I guess they're waiting to fire Wade to make sure there's just cause.
One last SEC question for you. This is a weird situation, too. Frank Martin has been at South Carolina 7 years. He's taken them to the Final Four, but that's his only NCAA tournament appearance. Does he go into next season on a warm seat? Because that is a weird. I don't know. I mean, Chris Silva's gone after 18 years there. I mean, they seem like another team that could be headed for the bottom half.
Well, and David, you're barely old enough to remember, I guess, the Frank McGuire days at South Carolina and their years in the ACC. This South Carolina has not had any NCAA tournament runs of more than maybe 2 years that I can think of.
Like with Fogler?
He does have that Final Four run. They did have a strong in-conference season, but I'm not convinced Frank Martin will be there yet next year anyway.
Wow.
I still believe there's a chance Larrañaga steps down at Miami, and if he does, I think Frank Martin will be the next Hurricane coach.
Whew. This is almost like football season talking about all these coaching changes. And football didn't even have any this past year.
Yeah, and I mean, we will see a very, very different and very more difficult SEC to win in next year.
Mark, listen, great job. Thanks for all that you do. We always love reading your college hoop stuff, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Thanks, and I need to put in one word for Jay there.
Okay.
Can't buy me love. Hugely underrated. Every 14- and 15-year-old kid in this country should have to watch that movie.
I completely agree with you, Mark.
The old Patrick Dempsey classic?
Yeah, absolutely. Before he became the Grey's Anatomy star, man, that one right there, hey, I'm with you. I mean, we talk a whole bunch about the Ferris Buellers and the Pretty in Pinks and the Breakfast Clubs of the all-time classics of the 80s. That's as good a high school movie. I'm not apologizing for putting that one up against any of them.
I would agree with you. That is a terrific movie and a terrific lesson for kids to learn from.
Mark, you are aces as always, and thank you so much for what you do for our readers and you spending Wednesdays with us, brother.
All right, guys. Thanks, and enjoy the Final Four. It should be two terrific ball games.
Mark, thank you. Mark Weidmer joining us. You know, the one thing about Can't Buy Me Love, though, is that Amanda Peterson,
right,
the co-star,
went on to commit suicide,
is no longer with us.
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful girl. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.